You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast for Tuesday, May 10th, 2005. This is show number 63, one away from the big announcement. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Todd the geek from Geek News Central. And, hey, we got a great show lined up for you tonight, as usual. Show 63, we're one away from the big announcement. I'm pretty excited. Been going through all the contest entries and have reviewed nearly all of them. Me and the Mr. Judge have been conversing via email and have it narrowed down. So some of you will probably be getting phone calls either Tuesday or Wednesday. So we're going to have a real short turnaround on trying to get a hold of everyone. And we may even be calling some people Thursday morning, mid-morning. We're hoping to catch everyone with the time difference here. It is really difficult to reach some of you on the East Coast. But hey, I want to welcome you to the show. And for those of you that are new listeners, thanks for tuning in. And if you're tuning in to the show for the very first time, make sure you go over and check out the main website at www.geeknewscentral.com. A lot of great content on there on a daily basis, along with all the archives to the podcast. Now, I've also put out a notice because we are expecting to be absolutely slammed when it comes this Friday when we make our big announcement here. We've been telling a whole bunch of people that this upcoming show is going to be huge, and they've been getting the word out for us. We've been putting some info out on Open Podcast. I made an announcement on the mailing list today, not the Geek News Central mailing list, but the podcaster mailing list. So we should see a big upswing on Friday. I've already got Libsyn warned. They know that it's coming. So we think we're prepared, and we'll hopefully the server holds. The folks at GoDaddy have been really good, and have gotten everything all tuned up over there. So we should knock on wood, or is this pressed wood, whatever it is, and knock on some wood here to make sure that everything's good to go. A little bit of news. I have decided, now those of you that have been around, those of you who have been around for a while knew that I had decided at one point to go to GnomeDex, and then I had kind of decided not to go to GnomeDex because of the podcast hotel event that Karanti was going to have in Portland in July. Well, with the slide of that show going to September, I basically made a decision this morning, and I have registered, got airline tickets, hotel registered, so I will be at GnomeDex. So if any of you are going to GnomeDex, we're going to have to hook up, do some podcasting while we're there. Should be an exciting time. That's a little over a month from now, June 23rd, 4th, and 5th, I believe. So I'm looking forward to meeting some of the people that I've been conversing with via email. Should be a great time. Now, on the Karanti front, I am going to be starting to posting over there on their website. Going to be putting up some just general articles on what's going on in the podcasting world. So basically, it'd be a new outlet for me to talk about podcasting in general. So we're looking forward to working with the folks over at Karanti, and thanks for Alex over there for getting me all set up. Basically, on the home front here, I got the wife a iPod Shuffle. She's very, very happy. I asked her what kind of... I didn't have a lot of time to set her up a big playlist, but I said, what do you want to listen to? And she said, I want to listen to a little rock and roll. So I synced her up some rock and roll. And she has, I think I got the 1 gig one. So I think she had like 530 songs or something like that on it. So I think she's going to be good to go for a while when she hits the gym and everything else. Now, on Friday, when we do make the announcement on what's going to go down here, is all of you are going to have an opportunity to make some money. Oh yeah. See, I'm getting forewarning you here that there's a, you know, you can, those of you that have weblogs may be able to make some money off this announcement. So I'll explain that during the podcast. It shouldn't take too long for you to get configured to actually set up to make some money off this. And anyway, the details will be forthcoming on Friday. Also, what I'd like to do, I know we've got a contest in work right now. I've got three. Basically, all the entries are in. We've closed the inputs. So we're going to be giving a prize to a listener, a wannabe podcaster, and a podcaster. And boy, I tell you, it's been tough to go through all those articles and find stuff. It's it really has been because you guys submitted some great entries. But I'm going to do a separate contest. You know, I've got the Geek News Central website. It's, you know, it's pretty unique in its color. Some of you like it, some of you don't. But hey, it's Geek News Central. What I want to do is I need a logo. So I'm going to have a logo contest, and we're going to make a great prize for someone that comes up with a really cool logo for Geek News Central. And matter of fact, we're going to, you know, if you design a little logo, put, you know, maybe a design by or something, you know, something in there that we can give you credit for and get you some recognition via the website, and also we'll talk about it on the podcast, obviously. But if you're artistic, and I'll be honest with you guys, I am not a graphics person, very far from it. We are very, very close to launching the Podcast Awards site at podcastawards.com. I've been going through. We've got the final design done. We're getting all the database stuff put in. My web developer, Tim, out in Indiana, is almost finished. And I'm hopefully to be able to roll that out on Friday, the same day that we make the announcement. Now, it's non-related to what is going on with the announcement on Show 64 on May 13th. But we're going to try to have that site ready to rock and roll. And basically, we're going to have it up 1 month in advance of the actual Podcast Awards contest taking off on June 15th. And that's primarily to try to get some advertisers in there before the contest starts so that we can have some cool prizes lined up for all of the podcasters that are out there. Now, if you are a podcaster or you are a news person and you want to pre-arrange an interview with me, and I know we're going on blind faith here because you have no idea what I'm going to be announcing on Show 64, but if you just want to get your place in line to talk to me, that's pretty pretentious, isn't it? Saying get your place in line, that's pretty sad. But if you want to arrange an interview time sometime Friday, Saturday, the weekend, whenever it may be, send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone else that wants to get a press release on this, what's going to happen is on, I'm going to make the announcements on the show. We're going to put it up on the web server, and I'm going to do basically hit a stopwatch, and approximately 4 to 5 hours after the podcast is up on the server, I am going to email a press release to everyone. So I would expect that would come out about 12. You know, you're already going to know the details because you're going to already have listened to the show. But I'm probably going to send that out around 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So those of you that may not catch a show first thing Friday morning, at least you'll have a indication of what's going on. And at the same time, we're going to roll something into the website design. So you're actually going to be able to go to Geek News Central, and you're going to be able to clue in on what's going on in about 15 seconds. All you're going to have to do is look at the web page, because there is going to be a change to the web page. There's going to be something new there. So are you guys excited? I know I am. And I'm looking forward to Friday in more ways than one, because I have so much information to share with you. I've been sitting on this info for a long, long time. We've been working it, and it's finally, we're really close. So anyway, enough of the preliminaries on what's going to happen on the next show. And I can almost guarantee there's going to be no regular news content on Show 64. It'll be 100% announcement, interview playing, and the whole nine yards. So And what's kind of funny is we picked a bad day to actually announce, because Xbox, the new Xbox, is going to be announced, and of course Adam Curry's going to be on Sirius. So who knows? You know, we're going to be competing with a lot of news events that day, but I know all of you are going to help me get the word out, and I guess that's all I'm going to say about that. Hey, I did get some, as always, we got some listener email, and I did get a great voicemail message from one of our very observant listeners, and I want to play this voicemail message for you guys, and he's got some suggestions for you that are, for those of you out there that are the geeks that have to go out and fix people's computers that are, you know, they don't want to give you a credit card to, you know, to buy the good software. And I shouldn't say that, because there's a lot of freeware software that's really great, and he makes some good suggestions in this comment. So check this out.
Hey, Todd. My name is Kevin Batchelder. I'm a regular listener of your show, have been for several weeks, actually. You were the first podcast I actually discovered, and you folks have turned me on to some of the other great ones with tech podcasts and other places, so thank you very much for that. In listening to today's show on the 6th, you mentioned talking about taking care of other people's computers and, you know, naturally anti-spyware and anti-virus stuff. Being a tech, I'm sure like many of us, we get roped into helping folks out, and you mentioned how important it is, but a lot of folks don't like to spend the money on some of those things. So there are a couple of good products that are out there you might want to mention to some of the other listeners that I've used and had some good success with. One of them for antivirus is made by GRISoft.com called AVG. They have a personal edition antivirus that's completely free, and from what I've seen works very, very well. So you might want to mention that one. As far as the spyware end, Microsoft, I think, as you know, has one. I think they bought the one made by Giant Software. But it's currently in beta, but it is free from their website, and I've used that one with some good success, too. If you want to avoid that, because at some point, you know, Microsoft, they might start charging for it. The other one that's free that works very well is SpyBot, and I've had good success with that one, too. So just some tips I wanted to pass along that might come in handy. And again, thanks for a great show. Really enjoy it. Appreciate it very much, and keep up the great work. And take care. And I'll drop you an email with the actual links if you want to put them in the show notes.
Hey, that was a terrific comment. We really appreciate that. Those of you that want to comment on the voicemail line can do so at 619-342-7365. It's just as easy as picking up your telephone and dialing it and leaving a comment, positive, negative, or what, you know, whatever you feel like. Go ahead and throw it on there. Okay, on the listener email side of the house, Paul out in Austin, Texas. Hey, anytime, my friend, you want to get together and talk about podcasting as far as, you know, doing a little interview to a show, I dropped you an email. I haven't got a response back. I'm available anytime. You can call me on my cell. I sent you that number. So feel free to ring me up, and I'll be more than happy to talk with you. Also, we've got a listener down in Australia. Her name is Sally. And she just basically sent out a message that said that she's a 28-year-old geek girl and she thinks we're underrepresented. Well, I tell you what, Sally, I'll be honest with you. I think there's a lot of ladies listening to the show, because I get a pretty high percentage of email from lady listeners making comments. So I think there's a good mix of you out there listening to podcasts. But hey, why don't you start a podcast, Sally? And we'll tune in and listen to see what you have to say. But anyway, thanks for listening, and we really appreciate the comment. Also from Pierre out in Montreal, thank you for the comment. I really appreciate it. I'm glad that you're have been tuning in to some more podcasts. There's a lot of great ones out there. I tell you, if you get tired of tech and you don't want to, you know, go over to techpodcast.com and check out the tech shows. They're over there, and we've got a great lineup. Matter of fact, we just added a couple of new shows this week. And, you know, there's a lot of great ones over there. But if you don't find anything over there, make sure you go over to Podcast Alley and dig down through and find some of the podcasts and some of those subcategories. Because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of great shows and people doing some very amazing work. And I'm just absolutely amazed at the quality. And unfortunately, some of these guys don't get as much exposure as others. But, you know, I think what I'm going to start doing here is trying to dig through and finding three or four podcasts, every show to maybe talk about a little bit, that are not necessarily tech, but are just great shows that I have found. If you find a great show, and let's say it's a show that's not necessarily in the top 50 at Podcast Alley, Because, you know, the voting is subjective. But go through, and if you find a great show and you really like it, hey, send me an email on you know, a cool one that you found that you and tell me why you like it. And we'll see what we can do about highlighting those type of other podcasters. You know, it's important that we make comments for them, too. Okay, also from Jason, I also want to say thanks for the comments. And I know that you're excited about the Mysteria show number 64. But you only have a little while to wait, and he's from the Woodlands in Texas. Okay, I got a message from Phil. Phil made a few comments about RSS advertisements, basically advertisements in RSS feeds. And, you know, I have to agree that we're inundated completely with television, on regular terrestrial radio, on even starting to, we're getting to into podcasts. You know, we've been guilty of putting an advertisement in podcasts. Not guilty. We do it to, you know, help pay for our hosting bills. But, and we like our sponsors. I mean, we really do appreciate them. But, you know, we're inundated with it every day. And you say, hey, it's just another, you know, it's just another way that we're going to have to deal with it. And I agree. You know, I'm probably overreact on the whole RSS ads things. But so far, we're going to leave the ads out of our RSS feed. Okay. Now, I am happy to announce that our 50th show, Flag Winner, is actually getting ready to launch his podcast. Norbert caught the bug by listening to the Geek News Central podcast, and he's getting ready to, he sent me a link to his second test show. And I don't know, Norbert, you're going to have to send me some info if the show is actually up and available. I know he's using Libsyn. Great service. So those of you that are aspiring podcasters, I encourage you go over to libsyn.org. They have one of the best deals in town. And, you know, that's basically how our MP3s delivered. And I can't say enough good things about them. Matter of fact, they were nice enough and they sent me a t-shirt in the mail. Now that's as much as, you know, that's the promotion that I got for talking good about Libsyn. But, you know, honestly, I do like Libsyn. It's a great service. And besides the t-shirt, they have not paid me to say anything about them. And we don't even have an affiliates link up on our site because it's not about that. We just want to take care of those that are taking care of us. I guess that's the way to say it. Anyway, but Norbert, look forward to the launch of your regular podcast. And I know that you have aspirations to becoming a tech podcaster. And when you hit that magic number of 5 podcasts, go ahead and go over to the techpodcast.com site and put your entry, actually submit your show, and we'll have the guys take a look and get it submitted. We are starting to streamline that process and starting to add some shows quickly. Annie McCaskey from Slashdot.review has been added this week, and Girl on Tech has been added. So we're getting a little diverse content over there, so it's nice to see. All right, hey, I want to, as we all know, Podcast Expo is coming in November, and you know the Geek is going to be at Podcast Expo, and we're going to have a evening there. We're going to meet someplace, and we're going to have basically a bar bill is going to be on the Geek, at least a partial bar bill. I'm going to put so much on the table. So I know all of you that are listeners are going to join me for that evening, those of you that are out in Ontario. But anyway, if you're not familiar with what's going on with Podcast Expo, here's this promo.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcast.com. Expo.com.
All right, let's talk about Google a little bit. On Friday, I wrote a open letter to Google on their Web Accelerator. And of course, the Web Accelerator got an amazing amount of negative press all over the blog sphere, in the regular news markets. And they pulled the Web Accelerator from their network. And they actually redirected the page over to their little search, the thing that they load in the browsers. And if you have loaded the Google Web Accelerator on your computer, my advice to you is to immediately uninstall it. Okay? There's a couple of issues with it, some security issues. You can go and do a search on the Geek News Central website for Google Web Accelerator, and you will find basically what's going on there. But deinstall it. Don't use it. They're going to have to figure out what they've done wrong and hopefully try again. And I'm sure, as someone said, the person that probably uploaded that at Google did it with a bottle of booze in his hand because he knew that it was probably going to cause a ruckus. But anyway, don't use that web accelerator. Okay, this weekend, Google actually was down for like 15 minutes. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but think about the infrastructure of Google. And they're saying that it was not a hacking issue, but it was something to do with DNS, and they were down. So hopefully they didn't get breached. They say they did not, but very interesting. There's a lot of speculation going on out on the internet over what happened there. And, you know, it's just amazing. If the Geek News Central website goes down for 15 minutes, I wouldn't make the press in any newspaper anywhere in the world. Obviously, it's, you know, we're just a regular little old website. You know, Google goes down for 15 minutes and it hits every major newspaper in the world. So it just goes to show you how important people rely on the Google search engine. And of course, it's not the only search engine out there, but it seems to be the one that is the most innovative and creating all kinds of crazy stuff all the time. You know, almost weekly, there's something new that they're coming out with. Okay, there's a tool called GreaseMonkey, and I looked at this today, and wow, this thing's amazing. And I found a weblog post that says, GreaseMonkey will blow up business models as well as your mind. And I'm just going to read the post. It's from the NIVI.com website, NIVA website. And here's what they have to say. GreaseMonkey is a Firefox extension which lets users add user scripts, and they're basically HTML. To any web page. These scripts can change any aspect of a web page's behavior, interaction, or design. This little baby is going to blow up business models. Look at some examples. And one of the examples they have is they've got the Amazon.com page loaded, and a little window pops up over the top of Amazon.com, and they've actually searched on a, looks like a book entry, and in the little pop-up window that this application allows, is the pricing of that same book at Barnes & Noble's, Buy.com, Half.com, Powell's Books, Amazon Marketplace, and of course the actual Amazon listing. So can you imagine going to, I think that's cool. You know, you go to a website, you look for a price on something, and then you get a little window that shows you, you know, a good selection of prices on other websites where you can find the cheapest price. I'm sure that there are probably some CEOs that are just like groaning that this is out, but I'm going ahead and link this up. You guys can check it out. This thing does all kinds of crazy things. And there's some plugins and people are adding every day, so go check out GreaseMonkey. Now, the biggest news since the last show was that the courts have nixed the broadcast flag. And if you all have remembered, you know, I was basically on the weblog. I've been spouting about, you know, talk to, you know, stand up and help the EFF fight this, write your congressman, you know, the whole nine yards, because the FCC had basically stepped over the line and had enacted this, it wasn't even legislation. It was just basically a rule that was to apply to devices manufactured on or after July 1st, 2005. And what that was going to do is, let's say you have a computer and you buy one of those cards that you can actually stick in your computer to get TV signals so that you can actually make it like an in-home DVR. They would have a chip in it that would cause if the broadcaster sent down a little code, it would basically say, tell the card, you can't record this. And this was pretty serious. So this broadcast flag has been struck down by the court. So it's not going to happen. So hopefully none of these manufacturers hopefully they don't have anything already in the pipeline that's going to come out that has this broadcast flag, code enabled in the hardware. And let's see what happens. I'm sure the next round is going to be that they're going to take this to, you know, the MPAA, and the broadcasters are probably going to be taking this to, Congress and asking for a law to enable this broadcast flag. But don't worry, we're going to be on patrol. We're going to watch and see what happens with this. Of course, the Electronic Frontier Foundation needs to be congratulated. This was a big win for them. And I am a strong supporter of the EFF, and always recommend that if you have a few dollars to you want to contribute to an organization, the EFF's a good cause to contribute to, because they basically stand up for consumers' rights and fair use. And this was all about fair use. You guys know that I'm a fair use type of guy, and don't like the restrictions that are being imposed on people through hardware limitations. So get over to the EFF and support them if you feel that you should. And also check out, if you don't fully realize the potential of what could have happened, then I'm going to go ahead and have a couple of links up in the show notes that talk about this major win. And basically it was like the D-Day of TV battles is what it really was. Dave Weiner over at Scripting News has a podcast out about the difference between broadcasting and podcasting. And this is basically on the, Adam's going online, or actually not online, he's going up on the satellite on Friday. So he's got a little commentary that's pretty good. And what's really unique is Dave's actually got comments opened up for this podcast. So he can actually go in and make comments on what he has to say. I know that I have gotten a few emails from people asking me why, I talk about Dave. And let's face it, Dave did a lot of work with RSS, and he, basically is responsible for the RSS 2.0 specification. And, if he had not put in the enclosure bit, podcasting, even though, it originated from a discussion he had with somebody, but he still had the foresight to put it in there. Podcasting would not have the legs that it has right now. It probably would not exist, because it's the glue that basically holds podcasting together. And I don't care what people have to say, he was responsible for putting that in RSS. And no matter what you think of Dave, he's got strong opinions, and we've talked about it before. You got to respect the man for that. Okay. I came across a link, and I think it may have actually been linked from, I don't know whose site it was linked from, but it basically shows some geeks' gadgets. And I'm looking at a table of gadgets that this guy has collected, and I'm thinking to myself, where does this guy get all of his money? Because he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 different little mini gadgets. A couple of them look like old cell phones, but the rest are look like, stuff that they use today. So I think it's pretty interesting. How many gadgets do you guys have? So why don't you get your gadgets up on a table and submit those to me, and we'll add them to the Flickr site that I've got set up for Geek News, and we'll see which Geek News Central listener has the most gadgets. I think that would be pretty cool. I don't think I'm going to be able to compete, compared to what this guy has, but let's see what you guys have got in the line of gadgets. And I'll put this link up so that you guys can kind of see what a true gadget freak has available, or what he has purchased. Okay, those of you that are movable type users, there is a lot of power in movable type that a lot of people don't even touch. There's a lot of configuration items that you can go in and modify to change the way movable type works. On the professional network over at Six Apart, there's some very extreme details on the mt.config file, the movable type configuration file. And it basically, it's a fully commented file, so you can go in and you can learn about some of the things that you may not were aware that movable type could do, or how you can modify its behavior. So for you, those of you that are movable type users, I'll put this up in the show notes and you can check that out. Okay, those of you that are Apple users that are running Tiger, a little bit of concern over the Tiger dashboard. There is a way in which malware can be introduced to the dashboard. And I actually loaded Safari up on the Mini, went over to the site where the guy had the example, or basically he said, here, you know, come to this site and you'll see how this is going to affect the Max and how you can be set up for a big fall. And basically, you know, I went ahead and went over the site. By simply loading the site, this widget loaded into the dashboard, and this could have been ugly. This thing could have done a dangerous thing. So there's a lot of news on this, not only on CNET, but on Ziff Davis. So I'll link those articles up for those of you that are Apple users that are running Tiger. Can go over there and look and see what's going on with the concern over the dashboard. Now, no word from Apple yet. They are declining to comment on the report. So I'm sure that for the potential of mayhem that could be created here, I'm sure Apple will be coming out with some sort of fix here directly. And hopefully they do something like where you have to typically, when you load a Mac application, you have to enter a password to give permission to do that. Hopefully they come up with something like that to fix this. Okay, Verizon, and I wish they had this here in Hawaii, Verizon is hitting the gas on its fiber campaign. And there are certain cities, mainly Texas and the some of the southern states, where they have put in a fiber backbone in cities, and people are actually going to be getting fiber to the door. And they're going to be offering a service, it looks like, from $39.95, which would be upload speeds of 2 Mbps, to $49.95, which you can get download speeds up to, they're saying 15 Mbps. And then, no, 15 Mbps, megabytes per second. And then for a whopping $199.95, users can download at 30 Mbps and upload at 5 Mbps. Oh, man. Think about that a second, okay? Upload speeds of 5 Mbps. If that's a true 5 Mbps for $199.95, that is a deal, folks. You know, that is basically over 3 T1s. And when I was living in Maryland and actually had my server setting inside a ISP, he had initially, when it first started out and everybody was just doing 28.8 dial-up, you know, he had just a couple of T1s for literally maybe 1,000 users. Now, obviously, broadband has changed all that. And, you know, 1.5 Mbps, which is the speed of a T1, can be ate up pretty quickly by a power user. But if they offered this type of a deal here in Hawaii, I could essentially run all of my websites minus Geek News Central on that connection. With no problem whatsoever, I could offload all my hosting accounts. Now, I don't know if they're going to allow commercial services to be used on this. They haven't said yet. But, you know, people have been running dynamic IP services for a long time. If they don't have the ports blocked and they allow you to use web services up on there, yeah, that's going to be like the best deal in town. $199.95 for 5 Mbps up. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, you know, considering that some servers are 100 Mbps on metered. I think we had a listener to this show, actually, I think he wrote up, and we'd been talking about some things for techpodcast.com. He offered me a unmetered 100 Mbps server for, and it was more than that $199.95 per month. So, but it, you know, we're talking about 100 Mbps, sitting on a basically in a server room someplace. But still, for a home user, 5 Mbps is good going up, you know, especially a low volume website, you know, like my personal website or, you know, some of the other things I do that doesn't get a lot of traffic. Now, Geek News Central obviously could not handle it because of the load that we see on that site. Okay, iTunes 4.8 has been released, and it includes the QuickTime movie playback. So what does this mean? Does this mean that iTunes is getting ready to get into the movie business? Or maybe they're going to be selling subscriptions to news or something? So no real information yet, except there's some speculation that a video iPod could be right around the corner. This would be pretty cool. Do a video iPod. Then what I could do here at the you guys could see my messy office, and tonight it's absolutely destroyed. My wife's been in here. I've got this. You know, everybody has a closet where it's kind of the store all. You just keep throwing stuff in until it can't hold no more, and then you have to strip everything out and go through it and throw away what's junk and what isn't. Well, I have a path in and a path out in the office because she got motivated today to start going through, well, quite honestly, about 5 years of pictures, okay? So she has, this was before we started using a digital camera. So, you know, she's got all these stacks of pictures she has to go through. And, of course, she's grumbling about it. And I'm like, well, just, you know, take what you like and then I'll start scanning them. You know, that's probably wrong thing to say. I taught her how to use a scanner, so hopefully she starts scanning all these and digitize them. But she's got quite literally, you know, she's Japanese. She loved to take pictures, and we'd have the 35 millimeter cameras before we went to digital, and she would have 10 rolls of film in the bag. You know, we'd go out for a weekend and come back, and 10 rolls would be shot. Oh yeah, you know how it is. And she had it all developed, so yeah, she's gonna be weeding through this and be a good project for over the next couple of years. Okay, but anyway, what I can do here is might be able to do a little video cast. You know, I can record the podcast and maybe put in a couple minute clip or something like that that we can put up on the website that can be synced up to, because, you know, really with podcasting we can also do video casting too. The same transfer mechanism will work, and if the iPods are video capable, wow. Easy, folks. You know, we're not only going to be doing audio shows, but we'll be, you guys can see me sitting here with, what am I wearing tonight? Well, we won't talk about it. All right, there's some pictures out on the net on Engadget on the leaked Xbox 360 specs and a picture of the new Xbox. So those of you that are gamers, you're going to want to go over and check that out if you haven't already seen it. I've seen a few of these leaked out recently. Engadget's pretty sure this is a real deal because two or three of these have been seen in on different websites. So anyway, you're going to get the full details in about 70, maybe 69 hours anyway. Maybe a little less than that. But, you know, I'm sure those of you that are hardcore gamers are going to be looking forward to this release. All right, those of you that keep track of what's going on in the spyware arena, firewalls, that type of stuff, I found a great article. It's pretty in-depth. It's probably for system administrator type levels. But if you want to check out a great interview that Ziff Davis did to a new startup, actually not a new startup, but a company that is getting ready to come out with a product that they say is going to blow everyone else away, go ahead and check that out on the show notes, and it'll be linked up, of course, at the end of the show. Also, all of you that are using Firefox out there, there is two new vulnerabilities, and they're pretty serious. So I'm going to want you to go over there and read this article on the Firefox exploits, and I want to make sure that you get into your Firefox configuration and disable JavaScript. If you're doing a lot of surfing around to different sites that you don't trust, you're going to want to make sure that you disable JavaScript until the Firefox folks or over at Mozilla can get a patch out for this exploit. All right, you guys know that I really don't, you know, the RIAA is almost like a dirty word for me. And there was you guys remember Hillary Rosen? She ran the RIAA through a series of disastrous moves where they were basically, you know, they're still doing it. She's not there anymore. But they're going out and suing college students and, you know, 13-year-old little girls or, you know, for going out and doing file sharing. And she's basically moved on. And now she is all of a sudden taking the stance that Creative Commons is not evil, where before she had said it was. And she's also all of a sudden came out on the side of the fence saying that consumers should have rights to having the iPod open up and not be DRM controlled. So this is, you know, there's a whole bunch of raised eyebrows, and all of a sudden, you know, she's it's like she's changed teams, and there's some questioning going on whether or not she is being paid by someone that is, you know, got a music resale business. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens. And she's been asked if she has a financial relationship with a provider or other music download stores. Nothing's come out yet, whether or not she has, but it'll be be interesting to see if something is linked up. And, you know, she wasn't about consumer rights before. She was about control. So if she's had a true change of heart and there's nothing financially about her actions, then I applaud her. But if it turns out that she is being paid by someone to have changed her view, I'm gonna be like calling her the biggest sellout in the whole world. If you're gonna say something, if you're gonna talk about something, you're gonna have a job, you better have convictions. You know, you better be convinced. You know, once you get on that gravy train of saying that DRM is good, file sharing is bad, you know, once you're on that gravy train and you spout it and you go after people and you sue them for thousands and thousands of dollars, and you're the one that's responsible for some of those decisions and alienating consumers, and then you're going to go ahead and change horses in the middle of the stream and all of a sudden say, oh, that DRM is not good anymore, or we don't want DRM, and we think Creative Commons is good. Oh, man. Oh, just wait. Let something come out to find out that she's being on the payroll with somebody else. I'll say it right now. I'll call her the biggest sellout in the whole world. No. You know where I'm going. I'll move on. I'll be quiet. I've said my piece. All right, y'all know I'm back in college, and I'm taking some courses, and I'll be honest with you, it's been a while since I wrote a research paper, and I've got a research paper to write, and I'm just absolutely dreading it. So I've been going out looking for some research materials, and been getting some sources, and finding some information, you know, doing all that stuff you got to do for a research paper. And I'm going to find out that what some professors are doing, and actually what some administrators are doing, they've got software out there now that is grading students' writing. I know sometimes I write some articles on the website that I go back later and read. I'm like, oh my God, what did I write there? You know, you have to take a conscious effort to sit down and make sure that it sounds right and the punctuation's correct and you're using the right vocabulary, you know, the whole nine yards. And sometimes when I'm writing on the weblog, I know I fly through stuff and I'm guilty of it all the time of not necessarily editing well. But I know that when a paper goes in, a research paper, my professor is going to be looking very closely at it and he's going to have his red pen out. But I think it'd be pretty cool. Does anyone know, and I know these tools are available to administrators, but does anybody know if there's any tools available that will go through and do this that is available on the commercial side of the house that actually I can use to do my own, you know, I can run my own research paper that I wrote, of course, run it through that to see what it finds. I think it'd be pretty cool to do that before I send my papers to the professor. That's not really cheating, is it? That's using software tools to improve your product. I think that's allowed. Okay. Anyway, those of you that are in academia, let me know if that's cool. If it's not, let me know. But I'm sure all these college students are out there have found all these cool tools to use. So, you know, with being back in school, it's been quite the interesting process. So, after being basically not taking any college courses for 20 years. Oh, it's very, very tough. All right, those of you that are science and space freaks, hey, I got a great, great image for you today. And it's one of my listeners sent it to us, or one of the listeners of the show sent it to me. And the Hubble telescope discovers God is watching. And you guys just got to see this picture. This is going to blow you away. And that's all I'm going to say. Go ahead and load it up. It'll be in the show notes and check it out. We're running real long tonight, and I got to continue to get this stuff knocked out so we can wrap the show up. But anyway, BMI has launched a new songwriter artist podcast license. It's going to be like around $300. I know that my good friends over at Keener 13 have signed up for a license along with Coverville. So, you know, remember, those of you that are out there podcasting, not only do you have to get a BMI license, you got to get the ASCAP, CSAC, and the RIAA. So, and just because you get the BMI licensing, don't forget about the other ones that are out there so that these organizations will not come after you. Now, BMI, you might be able to play the stuff in their catalog and be okay, but I still think you need the ASCAP, and I still think you need I think that's what you need. I think you need the ASCAP in conjunction with the BMI, but Maybe I can send a message over to my good friend over at Keener 13 and see if see what he has to say, since he has licensed this up. Okay, I'm going to skip that because we're running long. Oh, Firefox on a USB chain. How many of you are at work where they only have Internet Explorer load up and you have IT Nazis that don't allow you to install any applications on your computer, but you can plug a USB into the computer? I'm not telling you to do this, but this might be a way to run Firefox on a computer that has been heavily controlled by one of the Nazis at your work. Of course, if they've got it locked down where you can't really do executables, it may not work, but very cool. Don't get fired. Don't get in trouble. But it's a thought for you that want to use USB somewhere where you necessarily can't. All right, there's a great little new device out by Belkin. I'm going to be ordering one of these for the Mac Mini. They announced a new USB and FireWire hub that basically is specifically designed to stack on top or below the Mac Mini. The biggest issue I have with the Mac Mini, it only comes with one FireWire, two USBs, and I've already had a USB hub on it, but it's one of those little short dongle ones that sticks behind. Total pain in the butt. So I'm going to go ahead and order one of these very sleekish, nice USB FireWire hubs. Looks like $34.95. Going to be well worth it. It's going to keep my stack looking cool, all right? There is a... Those of you that are looking for a new web host, I've got a great article that you can basically read that talks about what you should be looking for when you go shopping for a new web host. And that's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Last thing. There's some speculation that there's a new black hole, or they saw a black hole being created. And it was basically what happened was, is they had a faint visible light flash moments after a high energy gamma ray burst. And it looked like it was a merger of two dense neutron stars. And I know some of you are rolling your eyes in the back of your heads, but this is cool stuff for those of you that are into space. Go ahead and check out what the Hubble telescope scored and the possible creation of a black hole. Okay. And if this turns out to be the case, man, it'd be pretty awesome. But there was a big global effort on that to get that stuff locked in and dialed in so that all the different repositories and satellites could, or not satellites, but telescopes were looking at the spot. Okay, folks, that's it. That's all the content I have for tonight. Running way, way long. Appreciate you for sticking with us. Okay, next show, big announcement. Some of you are going to be getting phone calls in the next couple of days, so don't be surprised if I give you a call and say congratulations. As always, we want to thank you for tuning in. You're a big part of our family here. As always, you can send me email at geek@geeknewscentral.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. And as always, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. And we look forward to the great explosive announcement that is coming the next show. I'm excited. I think you all will be pretty razzed when we make the announcement of what we've been working on. And, well, I should say we or I have been working on. Someone commented on that. Who's we? You know, that's talking third sense, but it's my announcement. So until Friday, aloha, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.